Now, Isaiah 55, I suppose, is a whole lot like Isaiah 53. Isaiah 55 tells us about God's gospel call. Charles Spurgeon called this chapter that, God's own gospel call. And it is. It is. Oh, he says, everyone that is thirsty. It's like the Lord saying, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Everyone that is thirsty. He doesn't say, stay away. Everyone that is thirsty for salvation, thirsty for forgiveness, thirsty for reconciliation, where would you have your thirst satisfied? Satisfied completely, totally. Everyone that is thirsty, the Lord said, come. He said, come to me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come ye to the waters. The Lord Jesus Christ is the very fountain of living waters. And the well is deep. The well is very deep. He that hath no money, come. Buy. How do you buy without money? Must be a free gift. You remember what the Lord said to that woman? If you knew who you're talking to and who the gift of God is, you would ask of Him. He that hath no money, come, buy, and eat. Partake of Him freely. Yea, come, wine and milk without money and without price. Now, how do you buy without money? Strange economics, is it not? This is the way God lays out salvation as the gifts of God. I'm titling the message from what is said in these verses, Isaiah 55. And in reality, it is the theme of all the Word of God. It is the theme, the center theme, the central theme, the heartbeat of the gospel, and that is salvation is full and free. We can put it this way, as the Word of God, that salvation is, because God is, it's of the Lord and of Him only. And the Lord says here, come, come just as you are. Come without your merit. Come without your works. Come without your righteousness. Come without your money. Come without price. Come unto me. Now, knowing and understanding and believing the Lord Jesus Christ purchased salvation for us, and He did. He bought us with His own blood. God bought the church, His elect, with His own blood. And knowing and understanding and believing, the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished all that God required of us. Everything God demanded of us, the Lord Jesus Christ fully provided. That's His name, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. God demands righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. God demands full payment for sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the atonement for our sin. And this makes salvation to everyone who is in need and all who believe the gospel. To them, salvation is certain and sure as God is certain and sure. Now, don't turn to this verse because you're familiar with this portion of Scripture. But let me just turn and read it to you. In Romans chapter 4, therefore, he says, verse 16, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure. God's promise, His exceeding great and precious promises, and all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, and to the glory of God. All the promises of God are certain and sure as God is sure. He calls them down here the sure mercies of David. His mercies are sure. I've never read one time in Scripture where a mercy beggar came to the Lord Jesus Christ seeking mercy and went away empty. That ought to encourage every one of us to seek mercy where it's found, in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The promise of God to every sinner is in need, He says, look unto me and be ye saved. Saved from sin. Saved from condemnation. Saved from the curse of the law, for Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Isaiah 53, everybody's familiar with that. And we see in Isaiah 53 the gospel provided through a covenant sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ is that covenant sacrifice. God said, here in His love, not that you love me, but that I loved you, and gave my Son as a sacrifice for sin. Isaiah 53 tells us about that substitutionary, satisfying sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are, what? Healed. Isaiah 53, the covenant sacrifice. Isaiah 54, we see the promise of the covenant mercies in Christ Jesus. Look at Isaiah 54, verse 10. For the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Our God is a covenant God. The mercies we enjoy are covenant mercies because of the covenant of my peace. Christ made peace for us with His own blood. And then in Isaiah 55, we see the gospel promise of the covenant call. God's call to His covenant people is an irresistible and effectual call. The gospel of Christ is not a mere invitation. It's a declaration of the call and command of God. And it is to be preached, as our Lord said to those apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's the charge that God has given unto us, to proclaim the gospel. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is that general call that goes out when it's preached, but there is that effectual and irresistible and invincible call of God the Holy Spirit that comes to the heart of God's elect that cannot be successfully resisted. Oh, you might kick against it for a little bit, but it won't kick long. You won't kick long. God will break your heart and conquer you and declare unto you His lordship and make you willing in a day of His power. It is the effectual, irresistible call of God to His sheep, where He said, my sheep, they hear my voice, I know them, and they do follow me, and I give unto them. What do the sheep need? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. Now, let's take a look at verse 1. The Lord says here, and I looked this word up, H-O. And in the Hebrew, the original word is H-O-W-Y. And it carries the indication of behold or hey. And we would say in our language, hey, you. When someone says to you, hey, you, that kind of gets your attention, doesn't it? He's directing his comments to you. And this is what this word ho here means. Hey, you. Everyone that is thirsty, the Lord says, come. Now, by nature, men don't have any spiritual thirst, do they? Spiritual thirst. Now, the scriptures talk about man who drinks iniquity like the water. We have a natural thirst, the old fallen, rotten Adam nature, for sinful things. But if any man truly desires the water of life and salvation in Christ, being thirsty, made so by God the Holy Spirit, and convicting us in our sin, that's this spiritual thirst that God gives to the heart of His people. And when they're so thirsty, and they need water so desperately, and then they see the Lord Jesus Christ to quench their thirst, to satisfy every need, what do? Well, they come to Him. You see, He's irresistible. He's irresistible. How many times have you seen these old Westerns and these people, them old pioneers, take out across the desert country out there in the middle of the plains or the high desert, and the water is sparse. The water is sparse and hard to come by. And when you find that water hole, boy, they make a beeline for that water hole. Because it quenches the thirst. It meets the need of those who are thirsty. Everyone that is thirsty, the Lord says, come, come, come. Our Lord said this in John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, the Lord Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It's the same Lord that's speaking in Isaiah 55. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now this thirst spoken of here is not a natural thirst for water, but rather a spiritual thirst for the water of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can satisfy that spiritual thirst but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You remember that scripture from Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Cold water to a thirsty soul. Remember that old song the Sons of the Pioneers used to sing, going back to my rodeo days when I was a rodeo bum back where I grew up. All summer long I spent down there on the rodeo with the cowboys and the cows. And they always used to put on the PA speaker system before the rodeo started. They'd put that song, Cold, Clear Water. Water, water. You ever heard that song? Oh, it made you want to drink. That's what the gospel does. When you hear that good news, water, water. Oh, give me some of that water. Now, what's the remedy for this spiritual thirst? The Lord said, come unto me and drink. That is, come to Christ. Now, He says here several times in these three verses, come to the waters. Come ye by and eat. And then down here in verse 3, incline your ear and come. Come to me. Now, how do we come to Christ? I love what my pastor used to say. He said, come to Christ. Don't move a muscle. Come to Christ. It's not something we do physically. We come to Christ by faith. The Lord said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Coming and believing are synonymous. We come to Him by faith. And God-given faith always comes to Christ, looking, looking, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher, the author and finisher of our faith. Believe on Him. He said, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come. buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. The gospel is free. Come to Christ without money, without price. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him. Someone said F-A-I-T-H. What's that spell? F-A-I-T-H. Faith, right? Forsaking all, I take Him. I believe it could stand for that. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Trust nothing less. Trust nothing else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him. Leave your merit, your morality, your righteousness, which is nothing but filthy rags. Leave your feelings, your tradition, your experience, your ceremony. Leave everything behind. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Come to Christ when? Right now. Right now. Saving faith. You see, faith is not an isolated experience. Faith is God-given and is alive and is real, and it is always in our heart coming, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang a moment ago Toplady's song, Augustus Toplady. And this song been around since the 1700s, but I found a verse that's not in our songbook that goes this way. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Helpless look to Thee for grace, naked come to Thee for dress. I to Thee, dear fountain fly, wash me, Savior, else I die. That's pretty good. I don't know why some of those good verses have been left out of them old songs, I guess to make them shorter, so we don't take up so much time in singing songs. So, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, wait a minute. Man in and of himself has absolutely no ability to believe the gospel and come to Him. Remember our Lord said, no man can come to Me except the Father which sent Me draw him. Impossible to come to the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation except by God's sovereign grace. He must draw us. He must keep us. We believe the gospel only according to the working of His mighty power. We have no more ability to believe the gospel than we have the ability to keep the law. We don't have any ability to keep the law. Nor do we have any ability to come to Christ. Believe on Him. He must give us faith. He must draw us. That's not to say that men are not religious. You can go to any country in the world, wherever you find men, fallen, sinful, wicked men, doesn't matter where you go, you'll find some sort of religion. Man's religion, false religion. When this European, the Europeans invaded this country, or this North America, we'll call it, it wasn't a country then. But when the Europeans came here and they found those Native Americans, why were they dancing around those totem poles? That was their religion. They had religion. They didn't know Christ. They didn't have salvation. But they were religious, even in their ignorance. Notice the economics of salvation. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Your gold is no good. Your money, your dollars are no good. The Lord Jesus Christ is that priceless, precious gift, and He's free for the taking. He is what the Apostle Paul said, the unspeakable gift of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Wine and milk without money. Salvation in Christ cannot be bought because it is a free gift of God's grace, being justified freely through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely, freely give us all things? Thinking of another scripture over here from our Bible study in 1 Corinthians. Don't turn, let me just read it to you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely, freely given to us of God. And He gives us all things. He gives us all things. How shall He not with Him also, I quoted that a moment ago, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? My God shall supply all your need, singular, according to His riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the water of life to the thirsty, as He says to that woman at the well. You drink of that water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of that water that I give you, there'll be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Christ is the water of life to the thirsty. He's the bread of life to the hungry. He's the wine of joy to the mourner. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein we rejoice in Him and have no confidence in the flesh. He's the wine of our joy. He's the milk of our strength. They used to have that commercial, remember, years ago. I guess they don't show it anymore. Everybody now, the doctors tell you not to drink milk, but I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But you remember years ago, the advertisement about milk, it builds healthy bones. Milk will do a body good. Well, the milk of His Word will certainly do a body good. He said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. He's the wine of our joy. He's the milk of our strength. And He's the light and light of our salvation. I jotted this down. I am, He says in John 8:12, the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sins. Notice what He says here in verse 1, buy and eat. He said down here, verse 2, eat that which is good. You see that? Yea, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Eat that which is good. Remember our Lord said to that young man who was trying to seek salvation by the deeds of the law, He said, there's none good but God. Eat that which is good. There's none good. None good but Christ, who is the bread of life. God is good food. Feed upon Him. Feast upon Him. Eat up Christ. Meditate upon the Lord Jesus Christ as He's revealed in the Word. Now, verse 2, Isaiah 55, verse 2. Wherefore, He asks two questions. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, for that which is not nourishing to your soul? And why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Now, what does it take to satisfy God? It must be perfect to be accepted. God demands perfection. We can't satisfy the demands of God's holy law But my friend, the good news of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied God in every aspect of the law of God. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? He said, hearken diligently. Now just don't casually listen, but hearken diligently unto me. Unto me. You remember what James said about the word, let everyone be swift to hear. Swift to hear him, slow to speak. And eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in the fatness of His Word. Now, two questions. Why spend your money, that is, your labor, your time, your energy, your strength, for that which is not bread, that is, that which is not salvation, that will not satisfy nor honor God, will not satisfy His law nor His justice, will not bring salvation or put away sin? Why do sinners seek salvation by the deeds of the law or works of righteousness instead of resting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone? Now you think about that. Why would a sinner go about to establish a righteousness of his own to try to satisfy Christ's holy God? Why would he do that? Because he's ignorant of the righteousness of God provided and revealed in the gospel. You remember that all the way through our study in the book of Romans. The righteousness which is of God. Which is of God. They had not submitted themselves to the righteousness which is of God. Romans 10, 3 and 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who go about to establish their own righteousness have never seen Christ, have they? You see, He is... Now, think about this. How insane, and it's a monument to the total depravity of sinners, that they would go about to establish a righteousness by their own doing and ignore the true righteousness that's provided of God. Ignore the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord would impute righteousness without works. And so ignorant and dead and totally depraved and go about to establish a righteousness of their own. Boy, what a vast difference. Aren't you glad that He gives us faith to come to Christ and rest in Him? What is the cure for the remedy and for this ignorance? Look what it says there. Hearken diligently unto me. Listen to His word. Hear His word. Hear His truth. Hear His gospel. Hear Him as He speaks in His word. Ralph Barnard came to Ashland 1950. My goodness, how many years ago has that been? Almost 70 years ago. 70 years ago. And he said, one of the things he said, it was well noted. He said, if my voice is the only voice you hear, you will not hear from God. If my voice is the only voice you hear, you need to hear God who speaks in His Word by God the Holy Spirit. Hear His Word. Hear His truth. Hear His gospel. I want you to listen to the Word of God that I preach, but I want you to hear Him. Now, there's a difference between just listening to a preacher and hearing God speak in the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, eat that which is good. Eat it. Eat it. How many times has your wife fixed your favorite meal? What do? You eat it. We had spaghetti this evening. Spaghetti with vegetables. No meat. Spaghetti with vegetables. And it's good. and we eat it all the time. I'm going to be eating on that spaghetti for the next 3 or 4 days. My wife said, don't you get tired of spaghetti? No. I eat that which is good. I like it. I eat it. And that's the way it is with the gospel. We eat that which is good. His word is good to feast upon, and we meditate upon Him in the word. And then He says, let your soul delight itself in its fatness. What is the fatness of the word? I mean, this book is a big book. But what's the fatness? What is the oozing nourishment and sap and life of the written Word of God? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the Word of life. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. He is the Word that was with God and the Word that is God. Let yourself delight itself in its fatness, in its fullness. Remember the Lord said in John chapter 1, of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. Delight yourself in the fatness of His Word and eat it up. Verse 3, I'll let you go. Incline your ear. Incline your ear. Hearken diligently unto me. Friends and neighbors, the old politician used to say on the stump, lend me your ears. Incline your ear and listen to the word. And when that happens, when you hearken diligently, when you incline your ear, when you eat that which is good, when you delight in the fatness of Christ, the fullness of Christ, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him. And when you incline your ear, you know what will happen? You'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me. Come unto me and hear. And your soul shall live. You know why we hear? Because God's given us life. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And then He says, I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. This everlasting covenant is as old as God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the surety of that everlasting covenant. You remember our study from the book of Hebrews? He is a surety of that everlasting covenant. He is the mediator of that everlasting covenant. One God, one mediator between God and men. The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The God of peace that brought again from the dead, that Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews chapter 13. He is the everlasting covenant. And I love what David said. You remember his last words? Although he said, it be not so with my house, yet God had made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and is sure. This is all my hope and all my salvation. I'll make with you an everlasting covenant. The sure mercies of David. Now, David was a great king. But David, the king of Israel, couldn't give me salvation. This David here, the sure mercies of David, is the sure mercies of the greater David, the son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation in Him is certain and sure because He completed salvation for us to the satisfaction of God and to the complete glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to turn with me, you can. I'll close by reading this. The covenant language of that everlasting covenant of grace in Jeremiah 32:38. Jeremiah 32:38. They shall be my people. They shall be, and I will be their God. I will, and they shall. I will give them one heart and one way. That one heart is a new heart we have in Christ. He said, I'll take away that stony heart, and I'll give them a soft heart. I'll give them one heart, one way. We know that Christ is that way, that they may fear me, worship me forever, for the good of them and the good of their children. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. I will not turn away from them. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never turn away from them to do them good. I'll put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. I will, they shall. I'll keep them. God preserves us, and we persevere in faith. And they shall not depart from me.